Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome back to our interview series, episode number 265. And from the great state of South Dakota, we have Kyle Courtney, the head boys basketball coach at Rapid City Christian High School, out in the Mountain Time Zone, out in the Mount Rushmore. Kyle, one of my favorite movies of all time is North by Northwest. We got Cary Grant out at the end here, out by Mount Rushmore. You got National Treasure 2 ending up at Mount Rushmore. Look at all these great cinematic presentations you have being filmed just outside your back door.
Yeah, you bet. It's a beautiful area of the country. Yes, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've had somebody on from South Dakota. So I'm really excited to have Kyle on here this week. But before we get to Coach Courtney, we, of course, want to thank our founding sponsor, Cosac Chiropractic, located at 144th and Maple here in Omaha. Coaches, if you or any of your athletes are struggling with balanced neck or spinal issues, have them go see Cosac Chiropractic. You can check out their practice, Cosac Chiro, KOSAK.com. Follow us on Twitter at A Pen and a Napkin. We try to put out daily coaching tidbits on the Twitter handle, so be sure to follow us there. If you're listening, please subscribe, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, whatever it may be. Download, rate, review, give us 5 stars. So we can, you know, when folks look up coaching basketball podcasts, A Pen and a Napkin starts moving up in that direction. Questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas, email me apenandanapkin@gmail.com. Enough of that boring stuff. Kyle Courtney, loyal listener. What's the saying go? Long time listener, first time interviewee here. Coach, excited to have you on here, my friend.
Marty, appreciate you having me on. I've really enjoyed your podcast over the years, so it's a privilege and honor to be on.
Well, I appreciate you returning the message here and jumping on here this week. So let's dive right into it, Coach. Let's talk a little bit about you. Let's start this the way we normally do. Tell us about your background, your basketball journey, and how you ended up in Rapid City, South Dakota.
You bet. Well, I'm a fellow Iowan, I think, just like you. So yeah. Grew up in a great town of Guthrie Center, Iowa. Mm-hmm. Now it's ACGC school district, but okay. I was a Guthrie Center Tiger. So yeah. Grew up out in the cornfields. Had a couple pretty good high school coaches there, Randy Moaning and Brian Schmalbeck, who I played for and really kind of fell in love with the game. And mm-hmm. I was a okay high school player, kind of developed late, but really enjoyed the Iowa basketball scene.
You bet.
Very competitive, a lot of great coaches there.
Very underrated, and I'm not saying this just because we grew up there, Coach, but it's underrated in a lot of ways when it comes to their basketball.
Yeah, I agree with you, 100%. Mm-hmm. A lot of great coaches. I just remember, you know, we were well coached, a lot of teams in our conference were very competitive, and so it was a lot of fun growing mm-hmm. up during that time. So. Yep. Graduated in 2003 there. I went and played some just small college basketball. I played at a school called Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. Mm-hmm. I think you had Brett Vaught on. Yep. Brett Vaught from NIAC on recently. And yep. he played there as well. He's mm-hmm. older than me. But Brad was ironically coaching, got to start coaching there in Owatonna at a Christian school when I was in college. So we've known each other a long time. But
very good.
I had a great college basketball coach. Keith Champion was his name. Older guy, had been around small college level, had a lot of success, and he was a huge influence on me. Just really mentored me and made me want to be a coach. And I think there's just a lot of things that I learned from him, and a lot of things that I copied and still do to this day. So, so really enjoyed that experience. You know, as a decent small college player. Again, we were little, after I graduated, I stayed around for a couple years, and I was his assistant there. Got married right after graduated and worked and paid off some student loans, and wasn't a full-time gig or anything, but got some coaching experience there with Coach Champion. And mm-hmm. And so that was huge. I wanted to get into teaching and coaching, so from there I actually got a job at a Christian high school down in outside of Birmingham, Alabama. It's called Tabernacle Christian School in Gardendale, Alabama. And so that was I went there and I was an assistant coach there and taught history classes and just, you know, kind of got mean, figured out what it was to be a high school coach and teacher.
Sure.
So yeah, had a couple great years there. It was a whole different world going to the Deep South, you know, for an Iowa boy.
Yeah.
but met a lot of great people, have a lot of great memories. The one thing I really remember about Alabama was it was all football. You know, we had trouble getting the kids in the gym just because it was, you know, it was football, football, football. And so we had some good athletes, but just didn't really get kids in the gym like, you know, we would like. So mm-hmm. I kind of thought to myself, there's got to be, you know, there's got to be another place too where basketball is a little more important. So, and I wanted to be a head coach. You know, I was young but I had an opportunity. My college coach, Coach Champion, you know, had some connections around the country. And I took a job out in Santa Maria, California. I went out to a Christian school out there. I've been in Christian education my whole career.
Mm-hmm.
But went to a school called Valley Christian Academy. And I was the head boys coach, basketball coach, and baseball coach there for 3 years. And really kind of cut my teeth there on being a head coach and,
mm-hmm.
you know, grateful that, you know, they let me learn a lot on the job. And
sure.
I had some good athletes, some really good guards for a small Christian school out there. And in California was really competitive. We were in the CIF, the California High School League. And so we'd have to go down to LA and play and in playoffs. And
yeah,
so it was a lot of fun. Learned a lot,
yeah.
You know, coaching there. So,
okay. And then how'd you go from California to South Dakota? The bustling streets of you know, driving through Los Angeles from time to time to perhaps not as bustling streets of Rapid City.
Right. A lot of great things about California. But we had a couple younger kids at that time, just little mm-hmm. kids. We want to get back closer to home. My wife's from Minnesota. I'm from Iowa. So just started applying for jobs back in the Midwest. And we got a little bit closer to home in Rapid City, somewhere we could at least drive back and see family. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of didn't really know anybody, but just got the job there. And I've been here, Rapid City Christian, for 11 years now, and we just love it. It's home. Got a great school to work at. And I'm also the athletic and activities director. So, you know, I came out and I taught for a year and coached, and I took over the full-time activities director job here mm-hmm. at the school. So,
mm-hmm.
so that was a great thing. That was something I wanted to do as well and still able to coach. So it's been just a great thing for me here at Rapid City Christian. Really enjoyed it.
With what you know and what I know, could we call Guthrie Center, Iowa, the cradle of coaches in the state of Iowa? I mean, you've got you. You got Jim Flannery. You got the legend himself, Casey Hall. I mean, what more could you want out of a small town of a couple thousand people?
There you go, Marty. That'd be the cradle of coaches. Casey Hall, your friend Casey Hall he coached me in baseball in high school. He was a college student, came back and coached us.
Okay.
His brother, Chris, was our point guard on our team. He was in my grade and a good friend of mine, but Casey coached me, I think, at least one summer. It might have been two. So
gotcha.
Hopefully Casey doesn't have too many bad stories about me. But
well, I'm more worried about you. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm way more worried about you.
There you go.
No, just have a little fun here. But no, it is interesting that you have in a smaller town like that you have as many, you know, coaches that have gone on to have really nice careers from such a small community in such a short amount of time, you know, and I know Flan is kind of the headliner of that, but you've done well at Rapid City. You know, Casey won a state championship, made it to a state tournament or two at Duchesne there, you know, so I mean, it's a pretty cool deal.
No, it really is. And obviously Jim Flannery, it's really neat to be able to say we're from the same town as he is and had a tremendous career at Creighton.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, pretty neat.
Yep. Yep. You know what, let's go through your run through of geography. I would think of the, you know, how many hundreds of interviews and people I've talked to on this, your geographic journey, I would say, is one of the most unique ones, you know, bouncing around the country the way that you have, but it's actually really cool here. Let's talk about, Let's go from Minnesota to Alabama to California back to South Dakota here. What are some what's one or two things that you've learned at each spot along the way here that has helped you develop as a coach? Let's talk about your college journey up to Minnesota there.
Well, I think going up to Minnesota, it was the opportunity to play. You know, I had a decent little career there, but just I wanted to coach. So I love Coach Champion there. You know, he was an older guy who'd had a lot of success, and I just really connected with him. He was old school, mm-hmm. you know, and as we get into kind of philosophy and all that, I'd probably tell you I'm an old school guy, just because, you know, I just really believe in a lot of those philosophies that might be considered old school today. But I just learned a ton from him. Just as a person, but just also just how to do things the right way, and I think how to structure your program and how to connect with kids. So mm-hmm. that was a big part of my college career. And I'll, you know, I think this is important for young people. I've got some kids right now that are going off to play college basketball, and just to help kids understand too, it isn't always about the level you're at. It's whether it's a good fit, you know,
yep,
for you.
Absolutely.
And whether you can really enjoy your college career. And I have zero regrets about my college career. I loved it. I love my teammates. I love my coaches. Not everything's perfect, but sure. You know, it was a great experience for me.
Mm-hmm. What about Alabama?
You know, I was a geography teacher for a while and a history teacher, and so I love geography. Uh-huh. Just, you know, young opportunity to just see different parts of the world. You know, I shouldn't say world, but country. You know, and
yeah,
it felt like a different world.
Sure,
when you go down to the South.
Oh, I'm sure it did, man. Absolutely, no doubt. Yeah.
But I do, you know, I did enjoy some of that Southern food, you know, the black eyed peas and turnip greens and some of that stuff I'd never had before. The barbecue down there, right?
You bet.
But I was an assistant to a gentleman named Dave Corbett, who was the head coach, and I learned a lot from him. He was a real defensive minded guy, and learned about running a high school program. And he really mentored me too. And I also learned, like I said, that, you know, there's got to be other places in the country where kids are a little more into basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be a basketball coach. And so, you know, it was a great couple of years, learned a lot of things, but then it was time to move on.
Mm-hmm. How about California?
Another different world in a sense, right? You know, the fast mm-hmm. pace of California, where I was at in Santa Maria, was just a beautiful area right on the central coast, right above Santa Barbara.
Okay.
But man, the opportunity to run my own program, and the opportunity to just, you know, you make some mistakes, you learn a lot of things, you know, but I had some good kids, I had some talent, and we won right away. And so it really instilled a lot of confidence in me as a coach. You know, you just learn too that when you have good kids, sometimes you think you know everything, but it's really the kids that are, you know, you got talent, and that makes you look better than you are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's here's one of the great keys to coaching. Find really, really good players. And that seems to be a common thread through a lot of successful coaches. Now, there's things that you have to do. And quite honestly, Kyle, you know, sometimes coaching really good players can be a challenge because there's a reason why they're really good. They're you know, really hard workers, but also there's a strong will, a certain set of stubbornness that you can kind of run into sometimes. That, you know, if not used or shifted in the right direction, can be kind of difficult as well. So, you know, but having good players makes everybody look a little bit smarter or a lot bit smarter than they really are, you know. But, you know, I mean, would you agree, disagree with that? What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. No, I absolutely agree with you. And that was the case for me. You know, I was blessed with good kids and good parents. And that's the other part too, you know, learning as a head coach, the dynamics of working with parents and working with your administration. And it's a whole different thing when you go from being an assistant to a head coach. And, but yeah, it does. It's the blessing and the curse sometimes of having that, but I can tell you, you know, I thought I knew everything, you know, as a first time head coach. And here we are winning games and having a couple pretty good seasons. And but then you figure out pretty quick, you got a lot to learn.
Yep. Coaches, I am really excited to announce this year's lineup for our 5th annual Pen and a Napkin Coaches Clinic. This year's clinic date is Saturday, April the 12th. It's going to take place at Mary R. Queen Gymnasium, located at 3405 South 119th Street here in Omaha. We've got three on-court demonstrators. Andy King, the head boys basketball coach at Elkhorn North High School, will get the day started with his clinic on developing your team through 5-on-5 controlled scrimmages. Jody Steyer, my good friend from Iowa State University, the associate head coach at Iowa State with the women's basketball team, is going to talk about individual player development in small group settings. Jamie Smith, the head girls basketball coach at Solon High School in Iowa, one of the best I've ever seen, teach about shooting fundamentals, is going to talk to us about how to put together a great shooting workout for your players. Coach Smith won a state championship last year at the Class 3A level in Iowa. Those are three on-court demonstrators. Then we're going to have three off-court demonstrators. Our lunch keynote speaker is my guy Raz Vanderloo, the head boys basketball coach at Sioux City East High School. And also Raz is very involved with USA Basketball. I'm just going to let Raz cook. He's going to talk to us just with a basketball smorgasbord of topics about what Raz wants to talk about that day. Then we're going to have two smaller breakout sessions. Lucas Dollinghouse, the head boys basketball coach at Johnson Brock here in high school, highly successful program. He's also an administrator, and he's going to talk about coaching through an administrator's eyes along with some other things. Our other breakout session is weekday Wade Coulter, the head girls basketball coach at Gretna East High School, and he's going to talk about building a pressure defensive system. One of the great things about the Pen and a Napkin Clinic is, in addition to our presenters, we also have two designated breakout sessions where you will get the opportunity to discuss various topics with other coaches attending the clinic. These sessions are a great way to pick the brains of your peers at the clinic, and it's one of the most enjoyable points of our annual clinic. And then, hey, after a long day of learning about hoops, it's time to kick back and relax. We're going to have an optional post-clinic social at Wine 121. It's right down the street from Mary R. Queen, about a mile, mile and a half down the road. I want to thank my friend TK, Tom Crable, for opening his doors to the clinic again. It's just $15 per coach for anybody that wants to join us there. Our Pen and a Napkin Clinic is one of the most affordable clinics in America. I mean, it is really, really, really affordable. You're going to get over 7 hours worth of information. That's $60 for a coach. If you're just a singular coach that wants to come up and check it out, it's $60 a coach. If you bring yourself and another coach from your staff, it's $110. Three coaches from your staff, $150. If you bring four or more coaches from your staff, it is only $45 per coach. We've got a sliding scale. It's all about getting better at an affordable price. So if you are interested in signing up for our Pen and a Napkin Clinic, look to the flyer on Twitter and mail it in. You can scan it in. You can do all those different things, or you can DM me or you on Twitter, or you can email me penandanapkin@gmail.com. Registrations are due by Thursday, April the 10th, 2025. Coaches, do not miss out on one of the best coaching clinics in America. Let's talk about some of your influences, Kyle. Some of the people that you worked with, and you've mentioned a couple of them already, and a couple of them you haven't mentioned that we're going to get to here. Let's talk about your high school coaches. Let's start with Randy Moaning.
Randy Moaning was my coach up until my senior year, and then he moved into the principal's job, and they didn't let him, they didn't let the administration coach at that time, but he was remember about Coach Moaning was he was just a he did things his way, and he was a great defensive coach. It was all man to man, I think kind of like the Bobby Knight philosophy. Zone's a dirty word, but he really taught man to man defense. I think he taught us to be tough. He'd had some really good teams there, gotten to some state tournaments and stuff, and then when I was coming through, they were kind of rebuilding, but my junior and senior year, we had real good teams that got to the district final. But he was just a great guy. And I just remember, running the program, like, we're going to do things a certain way, and we're going to really focus on defense. And so I learned a lot from that.
Mm-hmm. How about his replacement, Brian? And I hope I don't butcher the Schnallback. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, Brian Schnallback. Yeah. He He actually ended up moving to Sioux Center a couple years after I left.
Okay.
And he was just recently the head coach up at Sioux Center. I think he's since stepped back down, but great guy. He'd been a great player. He was our assistant for a while and then took over when Randy Monien moved up to principal. And I remember Smallback was let us have, you know, a little more freedom on the offensive end. We ran a motion, you know, which it seemed like at that time everybody was running flex and stuff around where we were. We ran, you know, five out, four out motion, and he really gave us some freedom on the offensive end. So those are some of the things I remember, and he just connected really well with the players. He was a younger coach, and so really enjoyed both of those guys and learned a ton from them.
Mm-hmm. Keith Champion, which you mentioned him a couple of times as well.
Yeah, Coach Champion, my college coach, is just like I mentioned, he was probably, you know, we'd say, his old school, and you know, we had a lot of structure in the program. His practices were extremely detailed and fundamental, and there was a big expectation for us off the floor as well as on the floor. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that
in what way, Coach?
Well, I just think your character, your integrity, how you conduct yourself in the classroom, you know, how you conduct yourself representing the program. He just had high expectations for us, you know, and I think that's great. I think kids need that. I think sometimes we've lost a little bit of that, you know, and sometimes we get hung up on, you know, being so successful on the court, which we all want to do, but we sometimes forget that it's about teaching those life lessons and those spiritual lessons. And he really wanted us to, you know, to be great fathers someday and great husbands. And we had a lot of success on the court at our level too. So I think those things translate. He was really big on the little things, you know, just mm-hmm. the little details, the fundamentals. You know, he was a John Wooden disciple, a Don Meyer disciple. And so, I guess, you know, I love those guys too, John Wooden and Don Meyer, and a lot mm-hmm. of that's because of him.
Yeah. Yeah. Some you listed some knucklehead here. Kylie Yates, yeah, you Teddy, yeah, no, Kylie Yates, our mutual friend from South O'Brien High School. What about Coach Yates? Have you picked up from Coach?
I appreciate about Coach Yates. I didn't really know him probably until about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe, mm-hmm. but. Doug Schauer, who's a local coach, who's another guy who's been a great influence on me, just always willing to share things with me when I moved here to South Dakota. He was friends with Kylie, and they're just basketball junkies and kind of like I am. And so he connected me with Kylie and just become friends. And Kylie's always willing to just share with anybody and everybody. And he's willing to mentor young coaches, and he's always willing to just, you know, answer the phone if you got questions, or send you stuff on the flex or the 2-3 zone or whatever you need. I just admire how he runs his program and just the demeanor he has and how he coaches his kids. And so he's, you know, he's been there a long time at South O'Brien, had a lot of success. And Kylie's actually also, the other connection is Kylie's actually from Sturgis, South Dakota, right yep. up the road here. So mm-hmm. he comes out here, I think, about every other summer mm-hmm. With his team. They take a trip out. And so they played in our team camp, and we played him at the School Mines team camp and things out here. So it's been fun to really get to know him.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good egg, as my old co-teacher, Mr. Jensen, used to say. So,
he sure is.
Yeah. If you're from Iowa, you know, he's a legend. Jim Eakoff from Western Christian.
Well, I can't claim that Coach Eakoff and I have really met, but growing up in Iowa, it's hard not to know about Western Christian of Hull.
Yep.
And Coach Eakoff's success. So I always admired that. And, you know, and we were 1A back in the day, and but you knew the state championship always ran through Boyden Hall, you know, in 1A and Western Christian in 2A. So
yep.
Just admired how he ran his program. When I was in California and I took over the head job, I wrote to some different people, and mm-hmm. I just emailed some different coaches and just asked for their advice. And Coach Eakoff came right back, and he gave me a whole bunch of stuff over email, you know, just was really personable, you know, shared a lot of insight, shared a lot of how they do things in their program. And some things that really resonated with me and that I still use to this day. So I credit him for being willing to, you know, share things with a young coach who he probably had no idea who I was. So
yeah. What are two or three things that he shared with you that you really appreciated, Kyle?
Well, I appreciated that, you know, again, he was a guy that, you know, you did things a certain way. I appreciated what he shared about how he, you know, how he had expectations for his players, how he handled things with his parents. But, you know, little things like, you know, hey, we all wear white shoes, or, you know, we all have hair, you know, short hair, you know, just discipline things that my college coach was like, and I run my program like things that just little details that I think were really effective that I learned from him.
Mm-hmm. Last one here. Previous guest on the pod here, Larry Luchens.
Yeah, well, Larry Luchens is I know maybe not a lot of your people are from South Dakota, but Larry Luchens is a legend in South Dakota. He's the all-time wins leader up here, and you know, in South Dakota, you only get 20 games in a regular season. I think back when he was coaching, it was probably 18 in a regular season, and I think he won about 750 games, and probably not too many people in South Dakota that have a shot at ever catching him and breaking that record. But he coached right down the road from us at Custer High School. They're in our conference, in the Black Hills Conference out here, and, you know, won a lot of state titles, which it's hard to do. I don't know if anybody's familiar, but in South Dakota, we have this thing called the East River, West River. And West River usually struggles to compete with the East River schools over around Sioux Falls. But Larry won 5 or 6 championships out here, and was just really known for his longevity, being around 40-some years, and also for his success and just his hard-nosed man-to-man defense.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, let's talk about, you know, now we're full circle here, Kyle. You know, let's talk about your program and growing your program over a long period of time at Rapid City Christian there. You know, taking those steps, getting a little bit closer, a little bit closer, a little bit closer. And finally, last year, you broke through and got to that state tournament. You know, what's that process been like for you over a decade plus to continue to build that foundation one brick at a time?
Really learned in my time here is the power of persistence. When I came in, I kind of came into a really good situation. I didn't know it, but I came in and inherited a team that was 6'8", you know, 6'6", 6'4", really, really athletic, you know, for our area. We're great size. We were a Class B program at the time, which is the smallest class in South Dakota. We've grown quite a bit in the last 10 years of school, but Class B, and right away we made it to what we called the region championship, which was a game away from the state tournament. And just first 2 years, we lost in the region championship to White River, who's just a powerhouse out here. I think they've been in the state tournament like 20 years in a row now. Just couldn't get by them the first couple of years. And so part of it was, you know, coming in expecting, man, we got this talent. You know, we're going to get to a state tournament. It's going to be easy. And a couple other times over these last 10, 11 years, we've lost in the Sweet 16 game, which our state has now, the SODEC 16 format. You know, so I think it was about 4 times came up, you know, that game to get to the state tournament came up short. And sometimes that's hard. You put, you know, you put a lot of time into it, you know, and you put a lot of hours, a lot of sweat, a lot of tears into it, and kind of rips your heart out when you're so close, you know.
Yeah.
As a high school coach, going to the state tournament is a big deal. Especially in the Midwest. And so that was, but the power of persistence and continuing to work and to build. And we've had a lot of really great parents and kids here that have been willing to put in the work. And the other thing is we've had a lot of great assistant coaches. I've been fortunate to have some great assistants who have been with me for a while now. And I think, you know, just continuing to try to get better. Had some programs. We moved up to Class A, and St. Thomas More is a program here in Rapid City that's the powerhouse. And
yeah,
had a coach, Dave Hollenbeck, who's been here for many, many years, and had a lot of success, won 4 state titles. And so we went right into the region with him, and of course could not get by them until just this last year. So, you know, just encouragement to coaches is, you know, continuing to grind and to put in the work. And I think there's a lot of power to that.
Yeah. What'd you learn from your first run to, you know, getting there in South Dakota? What are some of the things that you learned from last year that you're hoping to apply to this year to maybe take another step or two?
Yeah, well, I learned there's some good basketball in South Dakota. There's some really good coaches, I think, around here that have been here for a long time and built good programs. And I think it's also, you know, we have a seed point system in our state. So, you know, every game in your regular season is important because you get points off of that. And that's where you get seeded at the end of the year for your region tournament, for where you're at in the Soda X16. So, you know, being able to really take care of business and have a good schedule that prepares you for the end of the year, I think, is important. And last year we broke through, got the state tournament. Pulled off an upset in the first round in double overtime and made it to the semis. And then we just got hammered by the eventual state champs. So you go back to the drawing board and says and tell yourself, you know, that we got to get better. You know, there's some things we got to learn and we just got to get better. Mm-hmm. So
as you get ready here, you've got about a week or so left in your regular season, and then you hit, you know, district play and postseason stuff, right?
Yep.
You know, how you feeling about your group, and what do you feel like are, you know, again, making that run to the state tournament last year? How do you feel like, you know, you're positioned and how do you want to, you know, move that forward, if you will?
Well, we are currently 17-2. We got one game left in the regular season this coming Friday night. So we're sitting right now number one in our region, which would give us a first round bye, but 3 in our overall power points in our system. So I feel like we're in a great position, but our region is really tough this year. There's 4, you know, counting us, there's 3 other really good teams, St. Thomas More, Hill City, and Custer, that are all in like the top 13 of our power points right now in our class. So our region playoffs are going to be really tough. So, you know, one thing I've learned too is you got to take it one game at a time.
Yep.
You know, and I know as coaches, sometimes we see all the scenarios and we got to keep track of that. But it's really important that as a coaching staff and telling our players, the message we send to our players is we got to take it one game at a time and prepare as best we can and be ready for our opportunities, you know, be ready for those big games.
Yep. Coaches are absolutely loving our Taking Over a New Program booklet. As many of you know, I spent 2 years outside of coaching, and during that time, I hung a note card in my workspace at school that said, "Strip the house down to the studs." I took that time to really rethink and reorganize my thoughts on what it takes to run a transformational program. As I prepared for the possibility of coaching again, I organized these thoughts into this 96-page booklet. How much do I trust this booklet? I used this booklet as I went on interviews to help sell myself and my vision for what my new program would look like. If I'm using it to sell myself, why wouldn't I recommend it to you, my listeners? This booklet will help you look at any part of your program, no matter what stage you're at in your program, and help improve it in some way. It's all yours for only $15, which includes shipping and handling. For more information, email me at apenandanapkin@gmail.com. Want to know more about A Pen and a Napkin and all the resources it offers? Go to apenandanapkin.com, a great resource for any coach at any level. In addition to our A Pen and a Napkin University video library options that are available to order, we have hundreds of pages of notes, from one-page handouts to book breakdowns to original coaching notes. We also have coaching links, a full catalog of every A Pen and a Napkin podcast, and ways to contribute to the growth of A Pen and a Napkin. apenandanapkin.com is a coaching resource that will help you become a better coach. Coach, let's switch gears at this point here. Let's talk a little John Wooden, a little Wooden little John Wooden quotation here from Wooden, A Lifetime of Observations. Coach Kyle Courtney, are you ready for the John Wooden quote of the day?
Sure am.
All right. From page 83 of Wooden, A Lifetime of Observations. This is a really good page in the book, Coach. As I was putting this together here earlier this morning, finalizing everything, this is like the fourth quote I've taken from page 83 in the book here. So if you really need the best page in the book of Wooden, A Lifetime of Observations, I'm going to go with 83 as being the most influential page in the entire book. So, but the John Wooden quote of the day is, many athletes have tremendous God-given gifts, but they don't focus on the development of those gifts. Who are these individuals? You've never heard of them, and you never will. It's true in sports, and it's true everywhere in life. Hard work is the difference. Very hard work.
Yeah, that's a great one. It is very true in life as in sports. Kind of reminded of a scripture verse that says, you know, better is a living dog than a dead lion, right? Sometimes I use that with my players, you know. You can have all that ability and talent, you know, but, you know, if you're a dead lion, it doesn't do us any good. So,
yeah. Well, and, you know, we had talked a little bit earlier about, you know, sometimes talented players, you know, can be, you know, difficult. And most players are pretty doggone easy to coach, but every once in a while, whether they're talented or untalented, obviously you do this job long enough, you're going to run into some kids that you just don't click with or whatever it may be. But nothing, and I mean nothing, I know this is the way I feel, nothing is more frustrating than coaching a kid who has talent, who just refuses to put in the effort necessary to make themselves to reach their potential. And you're not asking that, you know, there's only one LeBron James, one Michael Jordan, one Sabrina Ionescu, and go on down the line. But doggone it, get to as good as you can be. And when you have a player who doesn't do that, for me, I know that was one of the most frustrating things that I dealt with as a coach. That would just... Oh, those are one of those things that kept you up looking at your ceiling at night. I don't know about how you feel about that, Kyle. I'm guessing probably along the same lines, but you know, that's the way I really felt.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, we always tell our kids, and have to remind ourselves as coaches too, but you can control your attitude and your effort, right?
Yeah.
Boy, if you can control those two things and just maximize you know, what God's given you. But it's amazing what you can accomplish when you have the right attitude and you give 100% effort.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Coach, let's jump into it here. Let's talk, let's start basketball nerding out here big time. Not that we haven't basketball nerded out already, but let's jump into some of your philosophy, some of the things you like to do there at Rapid City Christian. Nicknamed the Comets, correct?
We are.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so Boyden Hole Comets, Rapid City Christian Comets, there's comets flying all around all over the place here. So let's talk about your full court pressure defense, what you do there, what do you like to do, why do you like to do it, how do you implement it into your program? And like, I mean, Kyle, you listened to enough of these at this point, you know how this goes here. I'm going to let you cook. If I need to interrupt, I'm going to do so as politely as I can here, but talk about your full court pressure defensive philosophy.
Yeah, you know, we didn't always do it, but I think it's been about the last 4 or 5 years that we've really, really bought into it. And, you know, I think Mike Kilmer, you know, from formerly at Northland, has been an influence there. And we were kind of doing some of it before I really knew a lot about what Mike Kilmer did, but had a chance to kind of watch some of his stuff and listen to some of his podcasts and really have, you know, think that's similar to our mindset on it. But, something our kids have really enjoyed. I just think playing that kind of pressure defense and an up-tempo game. So we run, you know, full court matchup, run and jump is basically, you know, what we run. And, we go straight man-to-man pressure, but we do a lot of run and jump out of it. And the thing I really like about it is I just think it's unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Zone press, you know, for a lot of years as a coach, because I just like to be aggressive if we have the athletes to do it. And, But I really enjoyed the matchup press, the run and jump, because it's just unpredictable and it's reads. You know, you teach your kids how to make reads, and I think it's hard to prepare for. And we've been really fortunate, Marty, in that we've had some really good athletes lately to where it really fits us. And so I like to play that style. We may not be able to do that all the time if we don't have those kind of athletes. But right now we're really blessed with a group that it fits really well. And one of my assistant coaches coached my current varsity group, you know, a lot of those kids through travel ball when they were little. And so they kind of came up doing that. And boy, it makes a world of difference when they have those instincts and can make reads. And so that's been, I think that's been big for us. But just making it tough for people to prepare for us. And the other thing I really like about pressure defense is that it also, you know, gets into people's legs in the second half and the fourth quarter. And I think it's important if you're going to play pressure defensive style to really emphasize to your kids that it's not all about steals. It's not all about, you know, going all out, you know, reaching. In fact, I think, you know, one of the things that's helped us really improve in that is when we've really emphasize not reaching for steals. And, you know, sometimes we use the term Mickey Mouse, get those hands up by your ears, you know, show them to the official, get them up in the passing lanes. But that makes a difference when you're not fouling, you know, 80 feet from the basket. But you can get effective traps. And really, at the end of the day, you turn the tempo into the kind of the tempo that you want it to be.
Few questions here for you, Coach. Talking about those fouls real quick, I always just tell them, you know, when you foul somebody 80 feet away from the basket, and especially if that puts them in the one-on-one, you're basically saying, hey, you just made an 80-footer. You know, I mean, how much would you try to foul somebody if they were trying to shoot it from 80 feet? You know, and no, okay, well then why are we reaching here? Why are we, you know, and it's just that discipline, you know, just that part of it there. How do you start your press? Are you picking up man to man? If so, are you putting somebody on the ball? Are you denying hard and having a center fielder? What are some ways that you kind of get started with your run and jump there?
Yeah, we have a couple different, you know, calls out of it, a couple different levels of pressure. You know, in our more aggressive level, you know, we're putting a guy on the ball, and we don't necessarily pick up matchups. We obviously tell them, you know, we want you to go to a spot, right? And then match up from there. And then it becomes man to man from there. But yeah, when we're aggressive, we really feel like we can really jump on the other team and bring max pressure. We're going to put a guy on the inbounder. We're going to look for that coffin corner trap if we can, but we don't want to do that all the time. We want to, you know, some teams that have had success against us will run that inbounder down the middle of the floor. So yeah, we really want our kids reading that, and just kind of being unpredictable in that trap. We like to get them to, you know, really get, you know, pressure the ball and get it up the sideline and see if we can get, you know, what we call cut and double. You know, probably old Rick Pitino stuff, right? But cut and double, bring that trapper from behind. And that's when we have our most effective traps. But, so that's our most aggressive. And then if we want to, we'll take that guy off the inbounder and drop him back towards the free throw line and kind of be a center fielder, you know, on another level. And then we have really our third level is just we play a straight man-to-man pressure where we really have similar concepts, but we really just focus on keeping the ball handler in front of us and not getting beat or having to trail. So it's kind of the three levels of our pressure.
And I like that. You know, when I was a pressure coach and you know, getting those different looks and you know, showing team, you know, trying to keep them guessing and some are we trapping? Are we not trapping? Are we going to come after you? You know, that type of a thing. So very much the you know, similar in philosophy there, Coach. What's two or three things that you feel like you've done well in practice to teach your run and jump, to get your kids to rotate well? Like you said, it's a lot of read and react. It's not just, hey, go from point A to point B, and this is what you do every single time. It takes a while to implement the system, and so you have to have some patience with it. What are some things that you've done here to drill it and to help your kids develop in that way?
It's a great question. You know, I see people have different philosophies. I'm probably similar to, you know, Mike Hilmer philosophy and that, and Jim Crutchfield, you know, down in Nova Southeastern, who runs a similar type thing. I've listened to a lot of their stuff and I really like it. We do drill work, especially early in the year, with our kids, you know, the 2-on-2, the 3-on-3, the build-up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll run a, you know, what we call a trap and sprint, you know, and make sure when that ball's passed, everybody's turning and sprinting and we're covering the backside. We'll run cut and double. We'll run and jump, and we'll drill our different reads. But then really it becomes, we do a lot of just live stuff in practice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just practice that style every day, you know, mm-hmm. We scrimmage it, and then it becomes a lot of, okay, let's stop and just teach for a moment. Let's say, okay, you know, maybe this was a better read than, or, you know, just a little bit of corrections, on the go. But our kids get used to it, just because we do it every day in practice. And we give them the freedom to make reads, and then we teach and correct if we think it, we could do it a better way. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of our philosophy on it. And the other thing is, you know, then our JV kids are scrimmaging against our varsity all the time.
Yep.
And now what we found after 5 years, right, is those kids, then the next group comes in and they've had to run against it every day, you know, in practice. It also helps us, just to be honest with you, in our press breaks when people try to press us, because our kids are so used to going against it every day in practice, it doesn't rattle them.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of how we do it. Doesn't mean there aren't times, you know, in the season where we're like, okay, we got to get back to basics, mm-hmm. and we got to do some more drills. But for the most part, it's really more live scrimmage situations.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you like to fall back to, you know, once somebody gets through your pressure, what's your kind of philosophy as you transition back into your half court?
Yeah, we're a pressure man-to-man team in the half court, and it's kind of interesting. You know, in my coaching journey, I started, you know, I played for, like I shared, you know, a very much a man-to-man guy in high school. When I started coaching, just didn't have a lot of athletes that I felt we could play great man-to-man, so started mm-hmm. playing a lot of zone. And actually, you know, Al Marshall out of Cascade was kind of an influence on me with some of his stuff, and played a lot of 2-3 zone mm-hmm. over the years. But as we kind of moved up, you know, in competition and level, and then the kind of athletes we've had in our program now, we've just really bought into a pressure man-to-man style. So when we get back in the half court, we're still picking you up. Man-to-man, we do play a little bit of 2-3 zone, but for the most part, you know, it's talking point, get back. Mm-hmm. If we really want to keep the integrity of our matchups, you know, in our scouting report or what we're trying to do to a team, or we think they're really too athletic to really just pressure super hard, then we're going to run our what we call our 24, which is our full court man, and kind of keep the integrity of our matchups. But we've been blessed with some really aggressive, athletic guards. We're not very big, mm-hmm. But we got some kids that just work their tails off and are just competitors and just love to play that style. So we've got some teams, some of our better teams here in the state that, you know, really run a lot of great sets. Mm-hmm. And what we've tried to do is really, you know, take them out of the sets with pressure, even mm-hmm. in the half court. We switch a lot of guard on guard, big on big.
Okay.
Our kids are blessed with a group right now that's a really intelligent group that just, they communicate very well. It's very instinctive. So we do a lot of switching just to keep that pressure on, you know, whether it's hedge hard or we switch it. But those are some things in the half court that we really focus on. For a while, a couple years ago, we ran a little bit of like lock left stuff, you know, mm-hmm. no middle. But what I struggle with on that was giving up, you know, you really have to work on your rotation so much. And what we've kind of gotten to is a little bit more just thing that we think works for us is guard your yard, you know?
Yeah.
Keep that guy in front of you. We want pressure, but you got to be able to guard your yard and keep your guy in front of you. And we also don't try not to help off shooters in the corners that's one of the changes we've made the last couple of years. It's just having too many, you see in college, but I think you see that in the better high school teams. It just got too many shooters. Yeah. And if you come help on drives, it just always seems to burn you. So, it's a lot of, you know, you really got to do your job and mm-hmm. win your one-on-one battle.
Mm-hmm. How interesting do the conversations get with Kylie as he's talking about his 2-3 zone and you're talking about run and jump and pressing all over the place and going back to man to man? Is he fit to be tied, or does he handle it okay?
That's a good question. You know, I played 2-3 for a lot of years, so we had a lot in common there. But now we don't talk defense as much. But you know, but I'll tell you what, we went over and scrimmaged them in the summer. We had a trip over to Sioux Falls, and we went over to Rock Valley, Iowa, and scrimmaged okay. him and Kylie. And he's still playing a great 2-3 zone. So you know, his teams are always well coached and prepared really well.
I want him to come out in one of these games. I need to send him a text or something to come out in an old school Jim Boeheim plaid sport coat. I mean, if we're going to go full Boeheim, Yates, we need to do it right here. You know, we need to go back to the retro disco days here. So remind me to ask him about that. I need to send him a text here. So
yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. Coach, let's talk about let's talk. You mentioned this as we were kind of going back and forth, and I want to make sure that we get this in here because we don't talk about it a lot, but I think it's important, especially as you're heading into the postseason here, because you know special teams are huge. They're tremendously, tremendously important, and you know, baseline out of bounds plays on both sides of the basketball are really, really important. You know, trying to score and to take away points. You know, so what are some things that you do within your program? Let's talk on the offensive side first, with baseline out of bounds plays, getting your system set up, and going there and trying to obviously be efficient and get some cheap baskets as games go along.
No, you said it well. I mean, coming into playoffs, that's a big thing. You got to take advantage of opportunities to score whenever you can, and we did ball situations. So, you know, baseline out of bounds. I think there's a couple. There's two philosophies on baseline out of bounds. Either you're going to try to get the ball in, like some people do, or you really want to try to score. Mm-hmm. And I would tell you, our mindset is we really want to try to score every yeah. time we get a baseline out of bounds. So. And that's something we just doesn't mean we score every time.
Yeah.
But that's our philosophy, is that our kids know we want to try to execute the little things, and we want to get easy baskets when we have the opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, run the floor, score on your baseline out of bounds, those type of things. And it's really big in the big games. But one of the things that we do with our kids is, you know, we have a pretty good stack out of bounds plays. And we really work on those in practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just demand our kids know what they're doing. You know, we demand, you know, when it's a baseline play, you better hustle and get to your spot. You better be ready to go. Maybe we get a cheap one by catching the defense, you know, maybe not set. And then you better know your spot and where you're going and what the little things are that's going to take to execute that out of bounds play. And so we drill those. And we just kind of demand it. Our kids know that we take pride in our baseline out of bounds, and we take pride in the fact that we want to score in those baseline out of bounds.
About how many sets do you have in your portfolio for your squad?
You know, it kind of depends on the year, right, and,
yep.
and what group we have. But, you know, and I'm always looking. Oh, you know, I saw this one that Duke ran, and I think this would be effective. And, you know, there's so many different things on Facebook and social media and all this stuff. I'm always clipping them, you know, but I would say right now we probably run about 10 man-to-man, and we have about 4 zone. We don't see a lot of zone. We used to see a lot more zone when we were at Class B school. Now that we're Class A here, it's a lot more man-to-man. But we have some tried and true ones that we've had in our program. You know, I've been running since I was back in California, you know, 14 years ago coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have some every year that we just tweak, or we add some new ones or things that fit our personnel. But Yeah, we like to have about that, and we really emphasize that throughout our JV, our freshman levels, our middle school, even, some travel ball teams that we have. We want those kids, learning some of our basic out of bounds plays and really coming up in the program with that philosophy that we want to score on those baseline out of bounds.
Yeah. How about defensively? What are you doing there? What are you working on?
Well, we had to get better at that this year because we really had to spend some practice time on that. But I think it's important. We're mostly man to man right now. We guard it. We'll jump into some 2-3 at times, but I think it's really important. And what we've had to really work on with our kids is, get your butt down, be ready to guard. I think a lot of times, kids just on baseline out of bounds, they're standing straight up. They're, maybe they're staring at their guy. They're not seeing ball and man. Their hands aren't out. They're not ready to, fight through a screen or communicate on a screen. And I think the great teams, they catch a lot of times they catch defense out of position. So defensively, we just want to be really solid. We want to make sure just like we're dialed in, ready to score. We want to be ready right away to take away whatever the other team's doing. And we spend scouting time on that.
Yeah, that was my next question, is how much time are you spending on that with your scout?
We do. I've been blessed with some really good coaching staff, and one of my assistants, Joe Kiefer. We got a lot of Kiefers playing for us. He's got some sons and nephews that are good players for us. But he was our girls coach for a while, head coach before he came over and started helping me with the boys. And he does a really great job on scouting reports, and just it's invaluable to have somebody like that. So, we try to have the other team scouted and really know their best out of bounds plays and sets.
Coaches, are you looking for a way to improve not only your players, but your parents' perspectives on what they should expect when they come to your program at the high school level? Well, A Pen and a Napkin has something for you, your families, your players, your parents, and maybe even yourself as well. Varsity Preparation Academy. The first annual Varsity Preparation Academy is going to take place May 3rd and 4th, 2025, here in Omaha, Nebraska, at Omaha Marion High School. That's at 7400 Military Avenue here in Omaha. This is for girls basketball players grades 6 through 9 going into the 25-26 school year. VPA is all about educating parents and players to prepare themselves for the varsity sports experience, both on and off the floor. I'm taking all the things that I've learned in my career from all the camps that I've gone to, all the camps that I've worked, all the stuff that I've done on my own here, from USA Basketball to Snow Valley to Point Guard College to the stuff that I've done, and we're combining it all into one really, really intense weekend to help these future varsity athletes get ready for the varsity level. We're going to work on skill sessions on the floor. We're going to have many sessions on the floor talking about important things about like why coaches substitute, the importance of routine, different things like that. And then we're going to have classroom sessions where we're going to sit down and talk about different things that are going to be important for the development of the player and the parent. We're also going to have a parent meeting to talk to parents about what to expect in the high school experience, what they should be looking for as their child goes through this. So coaches, pass this on to your players, to your parents. I think it's going to be a really, really good deal. It's $175 for the weekend. That's literally less than $10 an hour that they're going to pay to get this great experience, t-shirts, binders for note-taking, all sorts of different things. Meals are going to be provided. We are going to take care of your players and your parents. A Pen and a Napkin is going to be there to help you out. Always done that, and we're going to do this once again on a different wavelength, on a different level, with the first annual Varsity Preparation Academy, May 3rd and 4th, 2025, here in Omaha, Nebraska. What type of stuff do you feel like is the most difficult to guard on your baseline out of bounds defense?
Well, I think it's fundamentals. I mean, I think if you set a great screen, if you set your guy up effectively, I think just doing the little things correctly, to get somebody open is something that's just underrated. Mm-hmm. And when we can focus on doing those little things and our kids obviously knowing what they're doing, but also being able to maybe make a read and make a counter to something that the other team knows is coming. I think those are really effective. You know, we've got probably like a lot of people, you've got some screen the screener stuff. You've got some, we run a lot of 1-4 kind of flat low mm-hmm. stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and we'll run different, you know, plays out of that set. And then we'll run some box stuff and run different plays out of that set. But I've just found for us, I think, you know, our kids knowing what they're doing, knowing the little things that it takes to set your guy up to score and set effective screens. I think those are the things that make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Let's finish up. What do you want to talk about, Coach? I'm going to give you the option. You want to talk about transition, or you want to talk about your culture?
Your culture.
Yeah, let's talk culture.
Okay. All right. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think I'm right because I double checked a couple of times. Your school's in an interesting place. It's not in Rapid City proper, correct? It's south of town there. Yeah. And literally right across the street from a pretty good sized RV lot or a campsite or whatever. So it's a little unique. You're kind of out there on an island by yourself in a lot of different ways. But you're 6-12, I believe. And you know, it's a smaller school, like you said. It's a Class A in South Dakota, so right in the middle there. You know, and you've grown over the last few years, you know, so and obviously a faith-based institution, so that's going to be a big part of your culture no matter what you do. So talk about how you've kind of taken all of these variables and built a really solid structure there to build a really nice program.
Yeah, we're right across the street from what's called Heart Ranch Camping Resort. It's big in the summer, Marty. I mean, people come from everywhere. It's pretty wild. But
you see Cousin Eddie out there?
You what?
Cousin Eddie? Cousin
Eddie. Oh, yeah. There are some Cousin Eddies, I think, that come out there. Yeah. I think there might be, but it's, I mean, obviously this summer, it's a big tourist area, right? You know,
yeah.
The city's a tourist area and you get a lot of people here in the summer, but, we have a great relationship with that camping resort. And our school, Marty, is an old equestrian center, like horse arena.
Wow.
They turned into a school. It's really unique. Our gym, if you ever get a chance to come out here, I'd love to show it to you. It's an old horse arena that they dug out, and it's kind of sunken down. Uh-huh. We're the Comets, so we kind of affectionately nickname it the Crater.
Okay. You know,
but it's a really unique kind of gym. It's a pretty cool home court advantage type of thing. But anyway, yeah, Christian school, we're 6-12. We were about 180 kids when I came here 11 years ago, and Rapid City has grown quite a bit. Mm-hmm. We're about 400 kids now, 6-12. So our high school is about 230. But I'll tell you this, the range of Class A in South Dakota, this might be a little odd for people from Nebraska with six classes and stuff, but we only have three classes in basketball. Yeah. And our range is, you know, it's 90 to 450 students is yeah. Class A in yeah. your 9-11. So it's a big range, but we've kind of were on the smaller end of that. And then we've grown some and kind of getting into the middle, I guess, you know, some of those schools, which helps. But mm-hmm. our program motto is One Heart. And, you know, I take that from scripture, you know, in Romans chapter 12, it talks a lot about, you know, sacrificing yourself. And, I think, you know, basketball is a sport, just like a lot of team sports, the things that you can learn there, but it's, you know, it's we over me, and it's about, you know, playing for each other and playing for something bigger than yourself. And so, that's something that I've just had as my motto ever since we've been here for our program. And, I mentioned I'm a little old school, probably. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm about to turn 40 here in another month, but
you're a pop.
Yeah, I probably what, you know, what they would say, a little old school, just because I played for old school guys, and I really buy into some of that. I really believe in, you know, probably like a lot of coaches, but the little things lead to big things, and every coach is a little different. You got to coach to your personality, and Got a little bit of that, I guess, that just that old school philosophy, but little things like some of the things that expectations I have for kids. And you know, is we're gonna on game days, we're gonna dress up, dress clothes, you know, dress shoes, ties, we're gonna look sharp to school that day, or if we're traveling for a game. You know, I want their hair to be shorter. I want it to be out of their eyes. I'm not asking for buzz cuts, but you know, I want us to look like a team. Team shoes, white, gray, or black. You know, it's harder to find that these days. But you know, just little things like that. And I don't let them drink pop during the season. You know, caffeine, you know, carbonation, some of that stuff. I just say, hey. You know, I just ask you to be a little bit disciplined and just say, we're going to work hard to get in shape and try to be in the best shape we can be in how we play the game. And so little things like that, some of the kids, you know, hate it, but, you know, I think they humor me because they just know that's just how it's going to be, you know, in the program. But I just think little things, you know, little things lead to big things. And so, you know, discipline, commitment, all those type of things are big. And coaches know that. But some of the things that we do too is in the fall, I'll do what I call leadership meetings with our kids, you know, maybe once a week at lunch. And I'm in the school, you know, I'm in administration. So, you know, it's helpful. I get to interact with the kids and see the kids. But we got a lot of multi-sport athletes. You know, that's another great thing right now that we're blessed with is kids that play football together, you know, they play basketball together, they play baseball together, or run track together, and that's helped us a ton. But during football season, I'll meet with, you know, the kids that I think are upperclassmen, and then some of the younger kids that I think might, you know, have a chance to play varsity for us that year, or super varsity, and we do some leadership meetings, and you know, I think it's important to just try to develop leadership in those kids, right? You know, if it's only coming from the coach, you know, if the coach is the only leader in the program, you know, you're probably not going to be that good, right?
Yep. So, Oh, well, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead, Kyle.
No, and then I was going to say the other thing we do is what I call, you know, once football ends, I call them culture meetings. You know, once football ends, we can't start practice in South Dakota until usually the very end of November or beginning of December. So we're one of the later states start. But when football ends, we'll kind of get the kids together that are going to come out and try out that year. And we'll do what we call culture meetings and kind of go through our expectations ahead of time and just the little things in our program and really emphasize those things so the kids and parents know, hey, this is what you're getting into, right? This is these are the things we're going to kind of ask you to do and the commitment level. And I think those things help. But one of the things is, you know, sometimes we think we talked about all this stuff at the beginning of the year. Why are we not doing it now, you know, in January and February? And so I think it's really important what you emphasize, you know, every day. And
yeah.
Culture is really a buzzword. It's really what you do every day.
Yeah.
Culture.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just being consistent with your words are important. Actions are much more important. And so you're talking about, you know, the deal with the pop and that, you know, well, could a kid get away with having a soda? Yeah. You know, and they could say, well, I didn't have any pop, but you know, what was their actions and did they really buy into it? You know, and that's such a big, it's just huge. And, you know, one of the things I would always tell my teams as well, Kyle, you know, the more I talk, the more I have to talk, the worse shape we're probably going to be in. You know, if I'm having to lead this or lead that or begin discussions on this, that, or the other thing, that's probably a bad sign. That's probably a bad sign for our direction. You know, you kids need to take the ownership in it. And as I got more seasoned and experience, what I also realized is a mistake that I know I made and many other coaches made was, well, they're seniors. just lead. You know, your seniors now lead. Where, you know, one of the big changes I made in my career was we were much more intentional about teaching all of our kids to be leaders. And then hopefully by the time they are seniors, they are really ready to lead. And we were pretty intentional about that. And that sounds like a lot of what you're trying to do there out at your place.
Yeah, like you said, it's, you have to be intentional about it. And that's something I've had to learn the hard way too, you know, and we still don't have it figured out. But, you know, we try to really emphasize that and really invest in that. And I'll tell you right now, you know, we're, you know, the best team I've ever coached this year. And Justin, I got five veteran seniors that are just starters, that are just some of the best athletes I've ever coached, but some of the best leaders. And I don't take a lot of credit for that. I think, you know, they come from just their parents could take a lot of credit for that, but it makes such a difference. You know, when you walk out of the locker room, you're not worried about what's being said in the locker room. You know that the message that's in the locker room, which is really, at the end of the day, the important thing is, you know, coaches can say whatever they want, but who's really controlling the locker room, you know? And if you've got seniors that you really trust and you know they're bought into the program, and you know they're like coaches in the program, I mean, it just makes your job so much easier
as a coach. Absolutely. So Kyle Courtney, head boys basketball coach, Rapid City Christian High School. Coach, if folks want to know more about you, want to know more about your program, how can they find out?
Well, you can certainly email me. My email is athletics@rcchristian.org. You always can reach out to me too. And myself, I don't know if I'll give it out to everybody, but if you email me, I'll be happy to share that with you. And be happy to talk basketball at any point. Got a ton to learn. So I love connecting with coaches and especially hearing from great, you know, high school coaches and how they do things. It's always a privilege and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, Coach, I hope your first run here on a pen and a napkin was good for you as well.
Appreciate you having me on, Marty. I really enjoyed all that you do and appreciate, you know, just the resources that you give coaches like myself. So it's been a lot of fun to hear your podcast over the years.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that greatly. Trying to do our best here. Trying to be that kind of center pivot, so to speak, and helping people out. So, it's been great here having Coach Courtney on the line here. Coach, if you could hold the line here just a second, we got to wrap up a couple of things. Again, we want to thank our founding sponsor, Cosac Chiropractic. If you are in need of any of services here, and my wife has gone a couple of times last week, she's feeling better already. Thank you very much, Dr. Kevin. Give them a call, 964-402-964-0300. Again, follow us on Twitter at a pen and a napkin. We try to put out daily coaching tidbits on the Twitter handle. Download, rate, review, subscribe to this. Especially, hopefully, we have a few new listeners out in the great state of South Dakota. Questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas, email me at penandanapkin@gmail.com. Check out penandanapkin.com. A lot of really good stuff on the website there. We've got a lot of good stuff here. It's T-minus less than 2 months before our coaches clinic on April the 12th. We've got our Varsity Prep Academy in May. Just a lot of really good things going on with the pod and everything with a pen and a napkin. So hopefully coaches will check that out. Again, been great to have on Coach Courtney here this evening. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.